are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Chad. It's good to see everyone back here, to see you face to face, guys. And to those of you who are watching online, please stay. Please stay, because the Lord has something for all of us today. Amen. Do you believe that the Lord has something for you today? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And to those of you who are watching, just type amen and be excited for what the Lord has been in store for us today. So before we proceed, let us pray and entrust to the Lord our time, the rest of our time. Dear God, thank you so much for your awesome presence, Lord, not only in this place, but also, Lord, to every home, every person that is watching right now. Lord, you are ministering. Lord, maybe some of them, Lord, feel that rest, Lord, that stress that they experience throughout the week. Your refreshing presence, oh God, gives rejuvenating strength and strength, oh God. Thank you so much for refreshing us. And I pray that as we listen to your word, thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, and you may bless, Lord God, your servant, who is only a mouthpiece, O Lord God, of your powerful word that's giving us hope, and that's empowering us, Lord God, to continue living that will give and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The title of this morning's message is Seize It. Seize It. Tell the person next to you, seize it. I don't know how would you interpret that, but whatever situation that you have now, maybe it is a difficult situation or a problem or a challenge or probably an obstacle, or you may think that there's a situation that is so impossible. The Lord has a purpose for that. The Lord has a reason for that. And I want all of us to be excited, because He wants us to capture that moment so that you will not only win the battle, you will not only bring glory to the Lord, but His kingdom, His name will be known to all the people around us and to all the nations. If our average age is 80 years old or 80 years, I don't know if I could still reach that age. Praise God. Let's believe that we will go beyond 80 years old. But amen. So if that is the average age, we will be spending 26.67 years sleeping. If your average 8 hours daily sleep, that's one third of the 24 hours, then 80 years divided by 3, that is 26.67 years being spent just sleeping. And if another one-third of your life is spent in working, that is 26.67 years again. Okay, some of us may probably working for more than 25 years. They want to extend so that, the mandatory 65 years old, will be hit. So more than 25 years. But if you spend your time working one third of your life, and your average age is 80, that's 26.67 years. So you have what? you have 26.67 years left. And average, you know, survey in the internet, it says that 5 years is being spent eating. And another 5 years spent waiting. Another 5 years spent in transportation. So that is 5, 10, 15, that's 15 years. And another 5 years being spent in entertainment. That's watching TV or playing Mobile Legend or probably FB. So I don't know, in this season of pandemic, we probably have more time to browse at our internet and play games and, you know, be probably more than 5, you know, more than 10 hours a day or 8 hours a day being spent in just, you know, having time playing or in social media. So you have 20 years and the remainder is 6 years, 6.66 years. So what will you do? And how have you spent your time? There's a common familiar quote: the way we spend our time defines who we are. The way we spend our time defines who you are, who we are. How do you spend your time, people? How do you spend your time, brothers and sisters? So, my brother-in-law said that they've been waiting for 3 hours, you know, queuing on that to be vaccinated. And he said because it's a long queue, so what he did is he opened his laptop and started working. He is making most of his time. Amen. While I was while we were waiting for a flight at the airport, and it's a long way of waiting, I was so bored. You know, my cell phone has been drained, and my companion was gone. So I tried to charge my cell phone, and I waited for, you know, my companion, and I saw that the person is already talking to another person, and it has been hours already. So I was so bored, so I drove closer. So this person is already discipling the person that she was connecting with, and she's my wife. Amen. She is making most of her time. If we're so famished or so hungry, we go to the restaurant and we try to order what we would like to eat because we're so starving. You know, 1 minute is like an hour, right? And we're so upset because a minute takes so long. But if at the other table, there's a beautiful girl, and then that beautiful girl smiles at you, it seems like an hour is like a minute, right? So, how do you make most of your time? How do you make most of your time? Today, we are going to see what the Lord is telling us through the message or through the letter of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to verse 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise men, making most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Early in the morning of June 19, according to the history, 64 AD, year 64 AD, Emperor Nero was just standing on his balcony and singing that special song, Greek special song called the Sack of Ilium, while watching three of his districts burning. In Rome during that time, they had 14 districts, and three of that major districts has been burned, and seven other more districts has been severely damaged. So according to the sources, they said that it was the emperor himself who planned to burn the three districts so that he could expand his kingdom to the Palatine Hill. And the Emperor Nero has recognized this thing, so he deflected these things to the Christians. So he made a law that all Christians should be put in prison or should be executed. So he put all the blame to all the believers. So for this reason, we can see in the picture that these believers have been burned alive. And the most painful thing to see is that these believers were made a torch. While they were burning, the emperor made them a torch in his garden. So it was the most difficult moment of the believers then. So it was during this time that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Ephesians. He has been in prison and he heard that, you know, the believers in Ephesus have been so discouraged, disillusioned, frustrated. Though he was in prison and being locked down, these believers as well, or around the kingdom of Rome, has been locked down as well. So the Apostle Paul encouraged them. The book of Ephesians is a book or letter that brings only encouragement. Unlike other letter, there was a rebuke. There was a Paul is sermonizing and telling them what to do in their carnal ways. But here in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, he was exhorting them. He was encouraging them. He was strengthening these believers who have been so discouraged. So this is the reason why the Paul wrote them. And he encouraged them to be strong in him. And Tychicus was the one who will bring the letter to them to tell them everything of Paul's condition, that he is doing well. So that is the overview of the story or the situation behind this letter. So there is a message that Paul is trying to bring to the Ephesians then. And we can get some important principle today on how we will apply this message, in our time right now. So Paul is saying that we need, in all situations, we need to walk worthy in the manner of our calling. As believers, we need to walk uprightly. As a believer, we need to live according to a manner worthy of the Lord. So I would like to share three important principles that you can apply for your life today so that you will be able to seize the moment. Despite of a difficult situation that you are facing right now, you can capture this moment that the Lord has given us. The first principle is, there is always a big opportunity in every difficulty. Again, let me tell you this one. There is a big opportunity in every difficulty. Meaning, when others see difficulties in every opportunity, we see opportunities in every difficulty. The Apostle Paul said, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise. When this pandemic hit us, we were praying that, Lord, bless the medical people, the scholars, the scientists, as they prepare for this vaccine. Praise God, there are vaccines available right now today. Amen. Aren't you happy about that? We have lots of vaccine. We have this Sinovac, we have this Astra, Pfizer, and they said Johnson's and Johnson's is here now today. And we begin to wonder, how could we get that vaccine? how expensive it is. So the poor people would say, you know, it would be very impossible for us to be vaccinated because it's very expensive. And praise the Lord, He answered again all our prayers. The vaccine is for free. And now our, you know, local government units is opening to all of us so that we will be vaccinated. But some people see this opportunity as a problem. They said that they don't want to be vaccinated because it's a sign of 666. They said that there's a lot of side effects on all of this. But you know, to the believers then, the Apostle Paul is encouraging them that despite of difficulty, the Lord has given that difficulty that you are facing as an opportunity. Are we seeing this situation as an opportunity, or are we seeing this situation as our difficulty? The Apostle Paul said, we can live wisely. Seize it. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. It is so impossible for believers then, you know, to be able to move on because of the situation. But the Apostle Paul said, hey, you can do it. You can do it. We have every opportunity that the Lord has put in front of us. Despite of this pandemic, we can move on. You can move on. We can still touch lives. We can still minister to them. You know, just this week, I received a call and said, Pastor, there's a miracle again. What's that miracle? She said, you know, the baby, this infant has been healed. Wow, praise God, because the Lord is moving. Are we seeing every moment of our life as an opportunity or as our difficulty? Let me show this a wonderful survey that has been done 20 years ago, and they repeated it 10 years after. 20 years of, you know, survey, and then repeated 10 years after. And take note, this survey has been done by secular people. And the question is, what helped you become a believer of Christ? 3%, they said, has been reached out or being follow Jesus through doctrinal debate. Okay, or presentation of the gospel, showing the doctrinal positions and all that. Only 3%, you know, become a believer of Christ. 8% dreamed about Jesus. This survey has been conducted to territories that are close to the gospel. Okay? So they said they dream about Jesus, and 8% of those people become a believer of Christ. Another 13% experience a miracle of Christ. That is the reason behind why they became Christian. But 76% experience the love of Christians. That is why they become believer of Christ. Church, are we making most of our time? Are we afraid of the things that are happening around us, and that's the reason behind that we are stuck with it, and we don't want to move forward, we don't want to see our families, because even if we, you know, see face to face with our loved ones, we hesitate to embrace, we hesitate to, you know, to hug our loved ones. And if it happens, at the back of our mind, when I get home, I will, you know, disinfect immediately. Or, you know, where's my alcohol? Where's my alcohol? You know, people needs us so that they feel the love of Christ to be demonstrated to them. Are we seeing the situation? You know, if we will be stuck, we will be losing our time. We will be missing the opportunity. That is why the Apostle Paul, in his letter, he is encouraging the believers to move on. He is encouraging the believers to live wisely. Not as unwise, because there is always a big opportunity in every difficulty. Hallelujah. May the Lord give us the wisdom. May the Lord give us, you know, His power to work in us and through us and use our lives to encourage others. Even if you are going through, you may be thinking that, Lord, what's happening with my life? Lord, why is it that I lose my job? Why is it that I was hit with this virus, oh Lord God? You know, the Lord has a purpose for that. He will turn that missed opportunity into opportunity. He will turn that difficulty into a blessing. He will turn adversity into our own advantage, and it will lead me to the second principle. Every moment offered to God is a perfect moment. Every moment offered to God is a perfect moment. Nothing is coincident in the presence of the Lord. Nothing is accident in the presence of the Lord. Nothing is such called as luck in the presence of the Lord. That's why we Christians, we do not say good luck, because we do not depend on luck, but we know that the blessing of the Lord is very certain. Amen. Amen. Do you believe in that? Tell the person next to you that every moment offered to God is a perfect moment. Are you in a difficult situation? Are you facing a very impossible, you know, crisis in life? That is, you know, the perfect moment that God has given you if you will offer that to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are watching and you are believing in the promise of the Lord, say amen or press the heart button. This is for you. This is for all of us. Maybe we are facing this difficult situation, but if we offer this to the Lord, it will become a perfect moment. When the Apostle Paul said, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Take note of that. Making most of your time. The word time. In Greek, they have two words for time. Chronos and Kairos. Chronos and Kairos. But it was not, you know, an accident thing that Paul used Chronos. Kairos, rather. He used Kairos because it is very, very intentional. You know, Chronos, it means chronological, the sequential time or the quantitative, you know, thing. But he used Kairos here, it means opportunity, opportune time for action, decisive act, or predicated with precision. It's very precise, and it's a time for taking this, you know, act of faith, not wasting any time. This word Kairos has been used in missions. This Kairos has been used during the 12th century. They discover that the Greek people, they associated the word Kairos with archery and weaving. Archery and weaving. So I do not have, you know, any idea on weaving, but the preciseness of it, the tension, you know, the spaces and the timing. I'm familiar with a little bit with archery. In archery, the strength that you put, you know, when you try to hila the bow, and then the way you release it, the timing of you know, the air that's blowing, that's how they associated the word Kairos, the preciseness, the accurateness of the moment. The Apostle Paul said, even if we are in this difficult situation under Nero, the Emperor Nero, this is the Kairos moment for us all believers. This is an opportune time. This is the perfect time for us to shine. Don't miss it. Seize it. This is the most the best time for us to show our light. So the Lord's timing for each one of us is perfect. You know, because the Lord sets every season at our advantage. We know that despite of evil things that are happening around us, death surrounds us, the word of the Lord is telling us that what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned that into our own advantage for our own good. Do you believe in that? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, we have heard a recent news on how the Lord has saved and protected, you know, a family from that terrible car accident. You know, that thing that you said, Lord, is this the Kairos moment? Because the Lord wants to make that moment perfect so that the fingerprint of the Lord will be seen in your life and that people will see the glory and that difficulty will turn into an opportunity to exalt the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! What is your difficulty? What is your situation? Are you hit with COVID? Are you losing your job? That is your perfect moment. Come to the Lord because He can turn this difficult situation at your own advantage. You know, when God gives you a situation, just ask to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Ask for His wisdom. Believe in Him because, you know, He is all that matters in our life. There's a saying, time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. Let me say that again. Time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. Hallelujah. So redeem your time. You may be thinking that, Lord, I missed all those opportunity. I lose all those wonderful moments, Lord, with my family. Lord, I missed that opportunity, Lord God, to see my children growing, and now it's so difficult to discipline them. The Lord said, you can still redeem your time, and this is the Kairos moment. The Lord will restore your fortune. You said you may be thinking that my company is losing. My family, you know, is struggling, but in the Lord, this is a perfect moment to see His hand moving in your life, in my life, in our family, because He is a faithful God. And He said, whatever situation, whatever moment that we are facing, whatever season that we may be facing right now, it will be used by the Lord. He will multiply it and He will make it wonderful in His time. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Nothing is, an accident in the presence of the Lord. You remember the word of the Lord in season and out of season? Psalms chapter 1 verse 3. It says that you will be like a tree planted by the stream of water that will yield its fruit in season and out of season. Hallelujah! Lord, thank you, God. Even if I think that I am missing the opportunity, Lord, this is still the time for us to rise up as believers and see the hand of God. That, Lord, as we believe in you, as the Ephesians were so disillusioned and frustrated and disappointed of the situation and thinking, Lord, am I still being loved by you? The Lord said, this is the moment for you to rise up because I am with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third principle, your life is part of God's best plan. Take note of this. Your life is part of God's best plan. He is a perfect artist. And sometimes the way He put that paint in the canvas looks like, you know, an abstract thing, but you are part of it. You may be crying right now and thinking, Lord, what will I do with my life, Lord? There's no more hope, but in the Lord, there is hope. Let me show you a brief overview of Ephesians. Ephesians, they said, has two major sections, and the first section speaks of the lists of benefits. Paul took time to explain it to them one by one. Let me share to you a brief overview of the first section of this letter to Ephesians. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. When the Ephesians' mindset, they thought, or they're thinking, that they are just second-class citizen, accidental part of God's plan, Paul explained it to them that you are part of God's big plan. You have been included. You have been predestined. You have been part from the very beginning of the foundation of the world, you are sons and daughters. Isn't it wonderful? The Ephesians, the Greek Ephesians, would say that, oh no, it was just an accident that we have been part. But the Apostle Paul said, it is Kairos. It is a perfect moment. You are part of God's big plan. You are sons and daughters. The next section is, the next paragraph is, verse 15 to verse 23. When they think, the Ephesians would think that they are not part of the inheritance, the Lord said, you are heirs of God's promises. Don't say that you are not part of it. You are part of the old covenant. The Old Testament is just for the Jewish people. No, you are part of God's inheritance. You are here. So they begin to be encouraged again. And then the Apostle Paul continued in chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, another benefit that is being given to them. When they said that we are not Jews and we can never be partaker of this special people, the royal people of God, the apostle said that you become one. You are Israelites in a sense. When you come to the Lord, your God, you have been part and included in as children of Israel. And they would argue. The Ephesians would say, we don't have the law. We don't have the scripture. The apostle Paul said, no, it is by grace that you've been saved, not by works. If the Jews have been saved through the through grace, even if they have the scripture, even if they have the law, you also have been saved by grace, even if you don't have the scripture and you don't have the law. So imagine the Apostle Paul keep on encouraging them. And lastly, they would probably say, chapter 3, verse 1 to 13, they would say that we are not worthy to be a useful vessel of God. There in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul gave a lengthy explanation. He said that I'm also a criminal. You can be used by God and your life can demonstrate the power of God. They may be doubtful. The chapter 3 ended with, how can the Lord love us when we are experiencing this very difficult situation? The Apostle Paul said, the Lord loves you so much. Could you measure the breadth, the depth, the height of God's love for you? That when you call upon God, He can do even more than you ask or think, exceedingly and abundantly. So that's how He encouraged them. Because why? Your life is part of God's plan. Three principles that the Lord has given us today through the letter of the Apostle Paul. There is always a big opportunity in every difficulty. Every moment offered to God is a perfect moment. And your life is part of God's best plan. You are a first-class citizen in heaven. You are heirs of God's promises, steward of His blessing, and part of His people, useful vessel and instrument of His kingdom, light to this dark world, and a living testimony of His hope. You have hope in Him. You are useful in Him. All of us. You may be thinking today that, Lord, there's a lot of obstacles today. Lord, how could I be useful? Just come to the Lord and believe that this is the appointed time. Not tomorrow, but today. You may think that, Lord, I have a lot of failures. I have a lot of mistakes. Yes, you may fail, but your life is not a failure. You may think that you can never be the best and you cannot experience the best from the Lord. The Lord is telling you, I can still pour out to you the best plan that I have for you. You can redeem your time. You may be thinking, Lord, all doors have been closed. All doors have been closed, Lord. The Lord is telling you today, that why stuck with that closed door when all the walls have been broken? We sang that a while ago. All doors maybe is closed, but do not stuck with that door because the walls have been broken. We fight this battle. We struggle this battle. Not for us to win. We fight this battle because the battle has already been won by Christ. That's the best plan that God made for you. So seize this moment. You may think that the enemy is telling you that there's no more time for you. There's no more, you know, opportunity for you. When you come to the Lord today, this is the Kairos moment. He is a God of second chances. You can still redeem your time. You can still restore that fruitfulness. You can still regain that wonderful, you know, promise of the Lord for your life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.